hey, Micah, I know you've been planning this party for weeks now, but I have a request for you and I will totally pay for it. But I really, really, really want you to get a mime.
Like a black and white striped makes walls where there are none kind of.
Yeah, like street performer mime. I'm just really into mimes. And so I would really like one at this party.
Here's the thing. Last time we had a mime, it bit Marco and gave him rabies. So are you really sure that's what you want to do?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. He might be freaked out a little bit if we get a mime.
I mean, we did the whole marathon and everything to
roller coaster. I want you to get a roller coaster. Hold on. Let me get the money out of my shoe. I think that roller coasters are a little bit more money than mimes.
Right. I guess I'll take your sweaty foot money.
Let's go coaster. Coaster.
Coaster. Coaster. Coaster.
So we are talking about
season 4,
planning a party for the epic Goodbye Toby.
It's been nice. Hope you find your paradise. Toby. Sam, Toby's going away.
So this is the last episode of season 4. It's episode 14, Goodbye Toby, originally airing on May 15th, 2008. Mm-hmm. It was a short season because of the writer's strike, so there weren't a lot of episodes.
That's right.
Yep. And oh my gosh, so much happens in this episode. They just like throw a whole bunch of things all over. And it for me, the whole thing with Ryan, it just gets kind of like tucked in there and almost forgotten the entire episode. There's a couple little touchstone moments where Jim's calling Ryan and Ryan's making him enter stuff from his big sale into the website. And then the phone call that Jim has over to Ryan at kind of telling him off. And then we get like this weird little YouTube clip. Like they find it on YouTube, which I found was funny. It wasn't really like a local news or anything. It was on YouTube that Ryan is being taken away and arrested for defrauding the investors.
Well, this is what happened. Ryan's big project was the website, which wasn't doing so well. So Ryan, to give the impression of sales, recorded them twice. Once as office sales and once as website sales, which is what we refer to in the business as misleading the shareholders. Another good term is fraud.
He's such a turd.
Well, it just shows he's young. He doesn't know what he's doing. He had like this idea and then it turned out to be basically illegal. So fraud. Good job, Brian.
I almost feel like you're giving him too much credit.
Oh, yeah.
In the sense, yeah, well, or maybe you're giving him less credit than I'm giving him. I feel like he's more of an evil genius than, not an evil genius, but like, in my mind, he knew exactly what he was doing, but he thought he could get away with it because he's the kind of person who thinks that he's the smartest person in the room. And somehow he thinks that, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this and I'm going to get away with it and nobody's going to stop me. And then that's the first thing that happens because you don't. I feel like he watched a bunch. He is what would happen to Michael Scott if Michael Scott was an actual bad person, because he also watched like some, I don't know, what's that show, white collar crime show, and was like, oh, but I'll get away with it. And then he goes through and does all this stupid stuff and he gets caught because he's a dum-dum. And that's how I feel.
I don't even think he knew it was illegal. I think he knew it was a devious move. I think that he knew that it was a little sketchy, maybe on the fringe there, but I don't think he really knew for sure that it was actually illegal where he would get arrested. So I think that that was possibly a surprise, but we don't get much reaction. All we see is this clip kind of being played on a computer and the secondhand knowledge of this happening in the middle of everything else that's going on in the office today, because we have Toby's goodbye party and... and because Toby's going away, that we have a new HR rep in the office, and we have Phyllis planning the party, and her and Angela, the rivalry between the two of them, and we are meeting your favorite character, Holly.
Tiff, I know, I realized something today, I think for the first time, something I am not ashamed to admit. I am in love with Holly Flax.
Oh, are you?
I am just madly in love with Holly Flax. If Holly Flax were a real person...
Does that make you Michael Scott?
It does, kind of. It does, a little bit. I just... everything she does just brings such a big smile. Like, she just, I love her so much.
Let's dig into Holly.
That's what she said.
Ooh.
That's not good, Micah. No, that's not good.
That was not good. It was very good, but it was not good, Micah.
Oh, God, that was bad.
Yeah, I'm leaving it in. It's all here. Boy. All right, so.
That's what she said, too.
Stop.
Or he said.
You gotta stop, man. It's just so much.
That's what she said.
All right. The role of Holly Flax was written with Amy Ryan in mind because the writing staff were fans of the television program The Wire, on which she appeared first. So I like that because I've seen The Wire. I love The Wire. I love Amy Ryan in The Wire. And it was just such a delight to see her on The Office. And I really like the character that they have built for Holly. Now, my question for you,
Holly Flax.
Is Holly a person that gets along with everybody? Well, she is, we know that, but she morphs her personality to fit in with everybody. And not that that's a bad thing. It's a really, really good thing. It's she's super in tune with everybody, and she's able to find a common ground or a way to communicate with almost anybody in the office. But we see her kind of bonding with Michael right away. Is this Holly digging Michael, which I think it is, or is it her personality just being like, I'm really good at getting along with everybody, so one of those things is she's really good at getting along with Michael?
Oh my God.
Not to say that either are bad, but how did that start?
You're going to ruin Holly for me.
No, because I think she still genuinely falls for Michael. I do. I think that she has an interest in him, but I also see her as just being really easily getting along with everybody. It makes her perfect for Michael because she can figure out a way to
mesh
with
this.
Him.
I hate what you're saying. So here's how I'm going. I can't, basically, is how, what I'm going to say to what you're saying. I can't.
Mm-hmm. Psychoanalyze your Holly. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's because my Holly canon is not that at all. My Holly, I think that she is at her core the Holly that she is around Michael, and she is putting on a show for everybody else. And the reason I think that is because when she's with Toby, she's playing along and sort of like having the day with him. And then she could have easily, whenever Michael introduced, or, you know, Michael not introduced himself, really did a bad job of introducing himself. She could have easily like, oh, I'm really sorry to hear that. I hope that our professional relationship will be different. But she didn't do it that way. She was very quick to like make jokes. And with everybody except for Kevin, she makes jokes with people and does that kind of thing. And we really like, the episode, it's not coming yet. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but later on we see how her and Michael think a lot alike. And I don't think that...
Yes, I know what you're thinking about, but that's all you need to say. That's perfect.
Yeah, that's all I need to say. And I don't think that that is her just putting on a show. That's really, it's kind of like, let's see what Holly does. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's kind of like what Michael would do. And so I love a person that is not afraid to just be dorky because that's who they are, and you know, are sort of unabashedly dorky. And that's why I think I'm in love with Holly Flax, is because she's just like, at least with Michael, she seems to be unashamedly herself. But if it's just the idea that she's like a chameleon, that would break my heart. That would break my heart that is in love with Holly Flax, and it would just split into a million pieces if she's just a chameleon, because then that almost makes her like a sociopath who can, I think it's sociopaths that can just blend in with the crowd and sort of mimic other people's behaviors. And that's not, I don't think Holly's a serial killer. I think she's genuinely a dork. And that's what I really adore about her, is her just, she's just so adorable and her adorkable. That's what I want to believe, at least.
I think maybe it's a little bit of both, because now that you're bringing up some of the future episodes where we do see like the dorkier side of Holly coming out more naturally instead of just in front of Michael, like we do in this episode, it that makes sense. But I think that she is just such a genuinely kind person that she is able to empathize with more people and open up the lines of communication more naturally. I think she's just really good at her job, right? Like,
yeah, I think that's fair too.
She's just super good at HR, and she's like the perfect personality type to have it because she's able to, you know, pull back on her dorkiness mm-hmm. and be professional when she needs to. And then she can let her
her freak flag fly.
Yep. There it is. I couldn't say it. Yeah. So that's Holly. I love the introduction of new characters in this show because I feel like they do it in a really great way. The writers have a wonderful way of bringing new people in where you never feel like, oh, now they're just wrecking everything. I loved all the original people and now they're throwing someone else in there. How dare they, right? Like, but they do it in such this graceful way that feels really seamless. And maybe it's a testament to the atmosphere that they've set up anyway, because in an office, people quit and they get fired or they move on and then new people come in and work. So maybe it's just that natural ebb and flow of an office environment anyway. But I gotta say, the writers do a great job of transitioning Holly into the group. And I feel like she's one of the gang already at the end of this episode.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, she quickly becomes one of the gang, not least because Michael's ringing endorsement.
Everybody, I want you to look at Holly right now. And maybe if you look at her deeply enough, you will see what I see in her. And that is that we are all very lucky to have her here. Holly is the best thing that has happened to this company since World War II. 50 years. She is the best.
Oh, not despite Dwight's efforts to haze Holly, which...
Oh, my word.
...is funny because he was told, like, maybe one moment from Michael to haze her, and he just went off on his own.
He just kept going and going with that.
He did just keep going.
And it's, like, it's so much that it carries on into the next episode. He like, laid some real seeds, some hazing seeds.
You know what we need to do? We need to sell her an elevator pass.
But our elevator doesn't require a pass.
Exactly. A little old-fashioned hazing.
So we have Dwight hazing Holly mm-hmm. the whole episode. Mm-hmm. We have a party being planned now for Toby that Michael comes in early, dances around the office. He's super excited that it's Toby's last day.
Today is Toby Flenderson's last day. I couldn't sleep last night. I came in extra early. So much energy. There's certain days that you know you will remember for the rest of your life. And I just have a feeling that today is one of those days.
And Michael has some big plans. And I love that he throws in, like, I'm going to have this insane elaborate party. And he gets out his dirty foot money. And we have a altercation that Angela just can't take it anymore. And I really like the moment where Michael turns to Phyllis. And he asks if she can do it.
I want a party that makes me feel like I am flying through the air without this ugly weight holding me down, you know? I want an anti-gravity machine. I saw it in a movie. You drink a potion, and then you just start floating all around.
So how much anti-gravity potion do you want?
No, you know what? This is not a party planning committee anymore. And I don't want your foot money, and I feel uncomfortable participating.
Phyllis. Can you do this?
Yes.
It is a wonderful moment where we get to see Phyllis kind of having a leadership role and really enjoying it and doing a really kick-ass job.
Like, she goes all out. She wants to show that if given the opportunity, she can really shine. And also, I don't know about you, how you feel about this, but don't you feel like she's also trying to stick a little bit of into Angela? It's like, you know, it's about proving to Angela too, like, watch what I can do.
Oh, yes.
I don't know. I like to see, we've talked about this before with Phyllis. We really like to see her shine when she gets the opportunity to do so. And, mm-hmm. and to just sort of like develop that character a little more is really nice. And yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's, it makes me happy. I also want to continue to note, Angela, the human being who plays Angela, the character, is pregnant during this episode as well. And I love the way that they handled, because the first time I watched this, before I ever watched the online web series that goes along with the show, I did not know she was pregnant. I didn't pay attention. I didn't, I had no idea. And I felt like, so there's a part where we'll get to it, but basically before we get to it, I'll just say Andy asks her to come up onto the stage for some reason. And when he does that, she says no, and basically makes him come to her. And in seeing that the first time, I can remember, I didn't think that was out of place. I didn't think that was weird. I was like, oh, that's totally Angela. But the sort of real life reason for Angela saying, no, you come to me, is because Angela Kinsey was pregnant. And so she could not walk up to the stage because then it would show that she was pregnant, which didn't make sense for the character to be such. And so it just, it works really well when you've got a character that is just that person. And I love that.
Pam in this episode has a lot of great little background moments. Mm-hmm. I love her when she is baiting Michael about the anti-gravity machine, and she's just like, how much would it cost? Would you like what? Like, she's going along with it. I love when there is the gifting exchange of Toby getting the rock and everyone being outraged by it, and the quick change of Pam suggesting that Michael give Toby his watch.
Oh, I love that too.
That is not my real gift to Toby.
So what is your gift?
My gift is forthcoming, Pam.
What is it?
I am going to give Toby
your watch.
Yes, I am. That was it.
How did you know that?
I just knew.
How did you know?
Oh, that is so sweet.
Well, that's my watch.
Thanks. I'm going to set it to Costa Rica time.
Hey, that's good.
And I really love her eye contact with the camera. There's all these funny little moments. And then poor Pam's like really awkward face when Toby's looking for a camera for a picture with her. And then later on, her confessional, when she admits that Toby is kind of cute, that she thinks Toby's kind of cute.
Oh, my God. Don't tell him I said this, but
I always thought it was kind of cute.
Oh, it's killer. It's like you feel so much for Toby because we know that he has been kind of looking at Pam for a while now. Mm-hmm. And I got to ask you, why is Pam not like freaked out about this whole picture thing after the whole leg touching incident that happened? I think I would be like,
they blew that off.
No, they did blow it off. It was super weird in that episode. And then it's like she's just cool with Toby now.
I guess, though, if we think about the character of Pam, Pam wishes that Al-Qaeda didn't hate her. So I see her being a person who can sort of like, I see, at least if I sort of put myself in her shoes, I could see the thought process of, well, he's leaving soon, so I better be nice. And I don't think that I would go as far as to believe that she would be talking to the camera and saying that he's cute. I think that if I was creeped out by somebody, there's no way I would be like, oh, yeah, and that person is cute. Nah. But I can definitely see her character and the way that her character is, being sort of like, oh, you know, I'll be a little bit kind and let him take a photo with me or whatever. But yeah, I agree. I feel like they really did sort of cast that aside like it didn't happen.
Before, I never really picked up on that, like the transition of, oh, yeah, she should have had more of a reaction. And this time I did because I'm paying closer attention. So maybe it just fell through the cracks.
Yeah, I don't know. It's... I did just kind of let that fly by in the past. I didn't really pay attention to the fact because in my mind, it was just like Toby's leaving and everybody's, you know, sort of sad that he's going. But that does feel out of place to go as far as to be like, you know, don't tell him this, but I always thought he was kind of cute. That's really, because he was being a creeper. So I don't know about that.
Another thing about Pam, she gets into art school.
Guess he just got into the Pratt School of Design.
No way. What did I say? I said that they love those sketches.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I don't know why I doubted it, because I'm so clearly awesome.
Yes.
This was another cute moment.
Yeah, I love that she just like reads it real quick, runs over to Jim, and the way that he supports her so wonderfully. He's so proud of her. He doesn't make her feel bad that she's going to be going away for any amount of time. She uses the word perfect in the office, which is the first time she's ever used the word perfect in the office. And I really like the support and the love that we see happening in this episode between Jim and Pam. And there's kind of a big thing that's going on. Jim has some big plans on the same day she gets into art school. Jim's planning on proposing.
Oh. So first of all, I just was watching this episode and thinking of you.
Were you?
As I was watching it, because there were so many, good Jim and Pam bits. And I know you love their relationship. And so they're just like the cute moment where she comes running in, and I don't know about you, but I've certainly had this before where I'm like kind of putting on a bigger smile than I usually do and hoping someone's like, how are you today? Mm-hmm. And then I can be like, oh, this happened and I'm so excited about blah, 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 blah. And like, she's just waiting. I have had that before. And so finally he realizes it. And then
she's like bouncing on the inside. It's so cute.
She's bouncing and it's adorable. But then what I love is that Pammy wouldn't have done this, but new Pam, awesome Pam, was like, you know, jokingly, she said, because clearly I'm so awesome or something along those lines. And Pammy wouldn't have even gone as far as to make that jokey sort of saying, you know what I mean? Like that would have still been too far for her. But Pam, that's got some confidence in herself, she can say that. And then Jim is immediately like, exactly, you are. And that touched my heart and soul. And so I was like, Tiff must have felt this like times 10, because if I'm feeling stuff for the Jim and Pam relationship, when I know that the Holly and Michael relationship is building in the other room, then this clearly must have been pretty fun for you to watch. So did you feel that?
Oh, completely. It was totally fun. It was absolutely... it's just delightful. Like, I love this side of Jim and Pam. I love their like playful support of each other. And Micah, I have some news for you.
Oh yeah?
Guess what?
What?
I'm going to art school.
No way.
Yeah, I am.
Oh my God. No way. Seriously?
Yeah.
Because you're so clearly awesome.
I'm doing continued education courses in New York City. Just like Pam.
Tiff, that's amazing. When does this start?
It started on Saturday, actually.
Oh my God. This is what your tummy upset was about, wasn't
it? Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Oh, that's so exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's
I thought
so fun.
It would be funny to tell you on this episode.
It is. This is the perfect time. Oh, wow. Oh, that's exciting. Wow. Cool. Very cool. So, yeah, I'm glad we both, I mean, I like I said, I expected that you would, but, I like their relationship, particularly in this episode, because I think it's really recognizable for those of us who've had experiences similar to this, where we're just like, we want the person that we care very much about to be excited for us. And he definitely was. Mm-hmm. And it all felt good and nice and fun and good.
I like that we see kind of Jim recounting his courtship of Pam in this episode through talking with Michael about how to approach his affection for Holly.
I don't want her to get away. I know. Here, Michael, you can court her as you get to know her, you know? I mean, the office is a great place for that. Pam and I, we got to know each other right out there. I mean, first time we joked around was at my desk. And the first meal we ever had was in the break room, actually. We were at two separate tables, and I remember that. First time we kissed, even, was right outside. And look, all I'm saying is that you can get to know someone really, really well, like I did, right here at work.
I think it's a really nice way to remind us, the audience, of the progression of Jim and Pam's love affair throughout the seasons that we've had, in a culmination of now he's going to propose. And the fact that he is choosing to propose in the office, it has like a reason. It's grounded in reason, because all of their major like relationship events took place in the office. So he wanted to do that. But
yes,
what happens, Micah, at the end? That
oh God. Okay, so first of all,
the the most beautiful proposal you could have imagined, with fireworks and, oh, it was just like this crazy carnival in the parking lot. And then Andy.
So first, I do want to say, I want to touch on that, because I think this was a bit of brilliant storytelling, in the sense that, yes, we all can come to recognize, or do recognize, that what they're doing is trying to remind us why it makes sense for Jim to do this before he's like, for us to just randomly get this, mm-hmm. I'm going to propose out of the blue would feel strange. And so we're being kind of reminded.
No, Jim's just really, he's really going to miss Toby.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm just really going to miss Toby. And so as far as that goes, like, we do have this moment, of good storytelling where we do have that reminder. And I like that. But yes. So here's the problem. If you are at a public event and the opportunity presents itself, and the lighting is right and the mood is right, and you've got fireworks in the background and the music is good, you might feel the need to propose to the person that you are with. And if you're Andrew Bernard, then you might do that sooner than maybe anybody else ever in the planet ever would choose to propose. And so that's what happens. Basically, Jim's proposal and the money that he spent goes to Andy proposing to Angela.
I was waiting for the right time to do this, and I can't think of a better time than right now, with the music playing and all our friends around and fireworks going off. My parents are here. Andrew and Ellen Bernard, thank you for sharing in this joyous moment. Miss Angela Martin, will you please join me on stage? Okay, then I will come to you, my flower.
Damn it!
It's awkward, and she just says, okay, I guess, pretty much. But he's very happy. And he, you know what, Tiff? It's the thing is, Mr. Andrew Bernard has a nice ring to it.
It does have a nice ring to it. And his parents are there, which are not his parents in the future. So they're bizarro Mr. and Mrs. Bernard.
That's twice now.
Is it?
Pam's first mom was a different mom. Mm-hmm. So I my head, like, parents always change in the office.
Yeah, they are way too happy for the Bernards that we get revealed later on. These are like completely different people.
Who are absolute meanie heads.
Yeah, they didn't think ahead on what the Bernard family dynamic would be at this point, and so I think they just shoved in some stand-ins and, you know, made it awkward that his parents were there.
And my parents are here. No, Andy, no.
The lighting in this scene when they are all outside, mm-hmm. is so great. I love the way this scene looks. They come out of the office, it's evening, the sun is kind of setting, and it's really a very, very, very different look than mm-hmm. what we're used to with the office. We're used to it almost being like lit like a soundstage, even though we know this is a kind of a location, right? It's a location. They're not.
It is. Yeah. They really do it in an office, and they have some of the drop ceiling tiles removed and replaced with lights. And yeah, it's actually a location.
Really? The inside is actually in an office too, or is that on a soundstage?
It is they may shoot some scenes in a soundstage, but I got not an actual mm-hmm. physical tour, but I think it was another one of the online things, and they give you a tour of the actual office where it is filmed. And yeah, they literally turned an office into a studio to shoot the show.
So that is why I think that this is really cool, because usually we see such nice even lighting. They do a pretty good job, and even a lot of times the outside scenes are all shot during the day where the lighting is really pretty neutral and even. But right now it's like the camera is catching a lot of the really low angled light, kind of that golden hour. And you even see a lot of heavy, heavy shadows, which generally you don't want in any kind of film production or TV show. But this, it grounds it in reality that they are really outside after after work hours enjoying this carnival, and they are shielding their eyes from the light, and like everyone's kind of squinting. And there's this one scene where Michael is singing his song, his Goodbye Toby song, and
Goodbye Toby. Sorry.
You get these big lens flares and you see like kind of the sweat glistening because they're like in that hot angled sun. And it's just really a very beautiful scene because it feels very, very, very real. Like, outdoor afternoon barbecue hangout. I know that feeling. Like, I know what it feels like to be in that light, and that's what they created on the show, and they did this really cool job of it. So bravo,
props to them for rocking it. I agree. I don't really have much else to say about the outside other than Goodbye Toby. That's just such a good moment. I will sing that song as often as I can as well. That's one of those things.
Michael's actually a pretty good singer. Like in the beginning when he was singing the regular part of the song, I think he did a really good job.
Have enjoyed my stay.
Oh, something else super dramatic happens in this episode. We run back into Jan and she's pregnant. This episode just keeps on like, like giving these loose ends. It's like more loose ends, put more out there.
This makes me sad because this sort of serves as a wedge between Michael and Holly, because basically Michael gets focused on his ex-girlfriend who, despite her saying, no, this is not your child, he still insists on thinking that it is his child.
I'm going to be kind of a daddy.
Is it his child, Micah?
I don't think it is.
What? Are you sure?
Tiff, will you please quit dropping these bombs on me?
Think about it, though. Think about it. If it happened when he was there, snip, snap, snip, snap.
That's true. It could have been one of the snaps.
Mm-hmm. It could be his child, and she doesn't want to tell him.
Oh, my God, Tiff. Why?
I don't know. I just.
That's a really good point.
I love monkey wrenching.
You love monkey wrenching.
It could be.
It could be. Mind blown. So
I know. Blow your mind. It could be, or it could not be. You could just let it go that she totally went to a sperm bank while they were dating, which that seems so strange.
Okay, but that's a Jan thing. Like, that's totally believable as a Jan thing.
Yeah, that is a Jan thing. It really is.
God.
Yeah. She totally has that confessional where she talks about if she were younger, she'd give Michael a shot at one of her kids.
If I was 22 and I had lots of time to have lots of children, then sure, let's let Michael have a shot at one of them. But honestly, I need to make this one count.
That's where I see it's probably actually how she says it went down.
Oh my God, it could be his kid.
I don't know.
Oh my God.
It could be his kid. And that's probably what Michael's thinking too.
I don't even give him that much credit to be as diabolical as Tiffany Armand.
Oh, please. I am not diabolical.
To think that level. That is diabolical. That's a whole new level of The Office that most of us have not got to that yet.
I'm just psychoanalytical.
Yes. There's a little bit of, I don't even know what like the what singular adjective for diabolical is, but anyway, no, I kid about it being diabolical. I just think that's that's not something that I had ever considered. And so, folks, if you had considered that, share your thoughts, because I want to hear about how I'm the only one that never thought that Michael Scott's that was actually Michael Scott's baby.
But how do you feel about him so quickly essentially turning on Holly? Not turning on her, because like she's obviously been giving signals this entire episode. She's touching his arm. She's making jokes with him on the floor. She is inviting him out to have more food. Like, she's making it real obvious, right? I see it. She's definitely coming on to Michael, and he wants that. And he was kind of trying to look for signals of that. And then when he goes back to Jan, he just kind of shuts it down and makes his phone call that he's going to join her at a Lamaze class.
Well, okay, I've got a couple of things to say about this.
Okay.
The first thing is that we have to remember that relationship was a very abusive relationship. And the abused do have trouble being able to get away from that kind, like it can be easy to fall back into those patterns and so hard to avoid them. And then two, and this is where I'll get a little personal, is because I will say you've been out of the game for a while. You haven't had to shoot your shot. You're married. And yes, I said shoot your shot because you hate it. I know that there was a period of time after, you know, at some point breaking up with the person that I was with at the time and moving on to the next thing. If it was that person breaking up with me and not me breaking up with them, there was a period of time in which no matter what might have come along, if that person was like, hey, I messed up and I really want to be together, I would have dropped all manner of things and went back. You know what I mean? And so I respect that. Like, I don't want Michael to drop Holly and go back to Jan because Jan was abusive, but he still sees Jan in many ways as like incredible. And then you add to that the desire that he has to be a father more than anything else. And it's just like all of those things add up to him definitely wanting to hop on. Oh, God, never mind.
No, back that train
up. All those things add up to him wanting to sort of follow up on that. So I definitely can see why he sort of, I mean, Holly's brand new.
Yeah, it's been a day, literally a day
to him and his life. And Jan is literally a day. And Jan is a long time. So, yeah, I get it.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I like the way you put that, especially including his desire to be a father.
Oh, my God. Then he doesn't have to then he doesn't have to worry about people not being his friend, remember?
Oh, God. Just
so sad.
Why'd you put that through my heart? What's wrong with you?
Well, you know.
So at the very end of this episode, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of little details throughout the episode that our audience enjoyed.
Before we get there.
Okay.
This has my favorite Creed moment.
Of course, we need to talk about the Creed moment. Go for it.
So Holly coming in and being like, what is it that you do here? And Creed, of course, not knowing.
What is wrong with this woman? She's asking about stuff that's nobody's business. What do I do? Really, what do I do here? I mean, I should have written it down. Qua something. Quabity Assurance. No, but I'm getting close.
Quabity Assurance is the thing that I know if someone is a fan of The Office, if I can say Quabity Assurance and they know what I'm talking about.
Ashwoods or Ashwood?
He says Assuance. Assurance.
Whoa.
And
I always said Quabity Ashwoods.
I said that too, and it wasn't. And I'm going off of the captions, so it may not be what he says.
You're like, I did research.
Quabity Ashwoods.
We need to talk about the ending of this episode, which again, it's just like, it's just like moment after moment, like reveal and crazy situation, just tons of stuff happening. Phyllis is wrapping up the party and she goes back upstairs and she's, you know, having a little chat with the camera about how it's kind of like a high of party planning. And she feels so good about what she accomplished and what she was able to do. And she goes up into the office and who is in the office?
And what are they doing?
It is
Dwight and it is Angela. And Angela is a newly engaged gal, and she and Dwight are doing the dirty.
No, we're not putting that.
Okay, she and Dwight are canoodling.
Yeah, canoodling. They're so into the canoodles.
Oh dear, I just saw Dwight and Angela and they were just canoodling up in the office, you know. Oh gosh, I just got a big old
because you're from
people
Michigan.
From Michigan are the ones who can't see anything other than canoodling.
Fine, they're doing it. They're making out hard back there in accounting and Phyllis catches them. And this is just right off of that Dwight confessional.
Well, my own fault.
Oh, that just breaks my heart. But he's back making out with Angela. And that's what makes me think that their time alone in the office while everyone was gone in that past episode that I brought up might have been the first time, because they were kissing like it wasn't new.
New. Yeah, exactly.
And
I
agree. We know they had an old relationship, but this is not the first time they've hooked up since then.
I think that you are correct.
But now Phyllis knows. So now who knows? We know that Ryan knows, Phyllis knows, Jim knows, and
Pam knows.
Pam knows, right? Ryan knows.
Yeah, he knows.
Right? He walked in on them. Yeah. We're getting a lot of people in the office who know what's going on with Dwight and Angela.
They know the up, down.
Mm-hmm. But that's how we end, which is a big thing. So there we go. you can't help it.
I didn't even say anything. Everybody out there is screaming it.
We don't even need to say it. Just laugh. Everyone can say it in their brains. Before we talk about a Dundee, I do want to close with saying that Paul Lieberstein. Toby. Toby wrote this episode. And it's kind of funny because Toby essentially wrote himself off of the show, which I find that to be kind of really funny. And so I just wanted to put that little fact out there for those of you who don't read office facts like Micah and I do on the internet on a daily basis. So there you go.
And I have a feeling it's kind of like that would be kind of a dream in a way to get to be the one to see your character gone. Yeah.
Write off your own character. Yeah, yeah. You have the say. You have the power.
I've got the power.
Power. All right, let's get to that Dundee.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that.
Don't cry.
I'm not going to do that, but now I'm getting all jittery. So it sucks, but it'll be great.
It sucks, but it will be great. No, it just sucks. But go ahead.
Oh, so okay. This week's Dundee, in the style of Paul Lieberstein saying goodbye Toby, we're going to be saying goodbye Micah, at least for now. I have, as many of you know, I took a new job and moved to California with my dogs, and that was a big move. And so we did take a little break on the show while I was getting that underway. And Tiff and I have tried to, since then, sort of launch the show back again and get started. And the fact is, I am just too incredibly busy to with new shows and all this kind of stuff to put the time and energy that I want to put into this.
Well, you have a new wonderful job to focus on, and there's nothing wrong with that, and you shouldn't apologize for it. And I think that you are doing a great job, and I'm proud of you for getting this new wonderful job. Stop it. Stop it, sir. That's how I feel. And you totally deserve this Dundee, which you have named. Do you have an award name? Did you name your own Dundee?
The Goodbye Toby Award, obviously.
The Goodbye Toby Award goes to Micah for his incredible work as co-regional manager of our show, co-host of our show, Somehow I Manage, and kind of the original catalyst of starting the show. This was your idea.
Yes.
We kind of named it together accidentally. And then I forced myself as your co-host. So that was
You did not. I was so happy that you reached out to me when you did. Yeah. So there's a little bit of inside baseball, or not inside baseball, but a look behind the scenes. I had talked to Tiff about wanting to do a show about The Office a long, long time ago. And I said, I know now that I think I saw an Instagram post of yours, and it was the Felt message board, and you had a quote from The Office on it. And I was like, oh my God, Tiff Armand is into The Office. I've got to have her on this show. And at the time, I thought it would be some sort of like multi-guest show that was going to be something completely different. And I just, that never ended up working out, never became anything. And then later we talked, and
like a year later, I was just like, hey, you.
Yeah. A whole year later, you had great ideas for what the show could be. And we launched it together, and we realized, I think, and from our reviews, that you and I have a really good rapport mm-hmm. and both genuinely love this show. And, you know, despite everything that has been going on busy in my life, like I have been very proud of getting to do this show with you, and in particular, working with you and watching how over time, like our rapport grew and how you took on editing and started absolutely killing it, nailing it time and time again. You absolutely killed the quiz show. I may be having to take a step back, but I have no concerns at all knowing that you're going to continue to make the show rock because I know that you care about it. And I know that you are a super fan through and through. And no spoilers, but I'm really excited for some things that are in store.
So hugs all the way to Chicago.
Hugs everywhere, from all me. The way around. Yeah, all the way to Chicago, exactly. Remember when you used to call me Michael all the time? but
we figured it out.
We got there eventually. yeah. But yeah, thank you for every That's What She Said, every beat, seed, every strum of the guitar. I've appreciated it. It sucks, but it'll be great.
Micah, get on up here and accept your Dundee. And sir, you are welcome back for any episode that is dear to your heart that you want to come and talk about anytime. Open invitation always.
Just please don't make me come to Scott's Tots.
Oh, no. No, no, we might not even talk about that at all. We'll just like be like, this episode's called Scott's Tots, and then just stop and then just not record anything.
I think everybody out there would appreciate that, honestly. They'd all be like, I totally understand why you did that.
So in light of this news, we'll be conducting job interviews for a new co-regional manager of Somehow I Manage. So over the next couple weeks, you'll be hearing some new voices, some people that you've heard before, just kind of testing the waters with who might end up being Micah's more permanent replacement for now. And yeah, so putting out that call. I'm going to have some friends on and we will see where that takes us. So
I'm excited.
Here we come.
I'm excited.
New adventures.
I'm really excited.
You're very convenient to have done this on a season break too. So go you.
Yes. Perfect timing. Ha ha ha. Yeah. So listeners, thank you so much for all of your support,
especially all the members out there, like everyone who's supported the show while we've been doing this. And please continue to support because the show's not going away. We are just, we're continuing.
The people who have been very involved, very excited about the show, and who have helped out in different ways, it's inspiring and made all of this just like all the more worth it. Ugh, it gives me such a good feeling in my heart. And also, Tiff, I had the pleasure of meeting Dan Wersch.
Oh, wonderful.
The Relay live event. And so a special shout out to Dan. Thanks again for helping us with Office Trivia Night and running the stream over there. We appreciate that. And thanks all of you out there. And yes, keep listening to the show. I know I am going to be happily listening.
You better be a member, sir. I mean, come on. Pony up.
Oh, of course. I already am a member.
So everyone, thank you so much for listening. And be sure to go over and follow us at tall_beats on Twitter.
The best Twitter name ever.
It is the best Twitter name. Subscribe to become a member over at The Incomparable for fun goodies and access to our members only bonus feed with our awesome conference room, members only Slack, where we talk to office fans. And you can rate, review, and star us over at Apple Podcasts. And make sure you give Micah a great send-off review on how awesome he is and how much we're going to miss him. Oh no, actually, don't mention how much we're going to miss him because we want the good reviews to keep coming. Just give us the good reviews as a going away gift for Micah. That's exactly what you should do. And make sure you join us next week when we start season 5 with the episode Weight Loss.
It was early morning yesterday. I was up before the dawn. I really have enjoyed my stay. Toby must be moving on.
Goodbye, Toby. It's been nice. Oh.
Goodbye, Micah. It's been nice. Hope you find your paradise.
Northern California must be my paradise.
All right, good ending.
Good job. All right, I will hit stop there.